drinking, that they will not know you. We pray that you will bless our sister church and all the pastors out there. All the for the revival for those that are getting to go through. Bless them. May soul be saved out there. May bless everyone travel through and all of them in the world today. And then guide our feet in the street and there that will serve you better. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, church. Thank you, brother Ronnie. Thank you, everyone. Again, welcome back to church. I have concluded the notes on this message. We should finish probably next Wednesday night. It's been a long series. This is a sixth message on it. And all of them are online. As soon as I get done with this one, I'll take it and put it online tomorrow. I also have my outline notes on our website, church website, if anybody wants to go over and look at them, study them. You're more than welcome. That's what they're up there for. We've been studying. There is none else but God. God is God. He is over all things. All things operate by His will. All things operate according to whatever He chooses in this world and the way He chooses for it to go. Everything happening today is also by design of God, predetermined, ordained of God to be. This world is going to go into the tribulation period. It's heading there quickly. It's getting worse and worse every day now, just about every hour of every day now. It's getting worse and worse. The Lord said over in Isaiah, before we go to Jude, we're going to go to Jude first. The Lord said over in Isaiah 45, verse 18, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it and has established it, and he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." There is no other like God. None other. No matter what the powers that be are. No matter how powerful they may seem, they are nothing compared to God. There is no power even close to God's. God bows to no one. He bows to nothing. Nothing in creation. God created everything for His own glory. And no matter what it is that God created, even though it may not look like it brings glory to God, it does. We don't always understand everything God's doing. But we have to understand and always remember that God is behind whatever it is. God has ordained it. God has predestinated it. And God is going to bring the end as He chooses to. So one of those powers that God has created, and as I said last week, a lot of people think that Satan has the second power to God, but he doesn't. Satan's power is only limited to what God allows it to be. And if God doesn't want Satan to do anything, Satan will not do anything. As he could not touch the life of Job, he cannot touch anything else that God has purposed to be. He cannot stop anything, and he cannot hurt anything. He can't accomplish anything. He has no power except the powers that God has given him. But with that being said, he does have power, doesn't he? And God does allow him certain powers to do certain things. And God knows everything he does, and God controls everything he does. So if we go to Jude, chapter 1, Jude only has one chapter. It says, "Likewise," in verse 8, "likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion," excuse me, "and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him railing accusation, but saith, the Lord rebuke thee." The Lord will rebuke him. The Lord will rebuke all of them, won't he? The Lord is in control. It is because only the Lord, our God, has power. It's not our responsibility to debate with Satan. It's not our responsibility to fight with Satan. It's not our responsibility to argue and debate with Satan. God's will is always done. Don't concern yourself with what Satan's doing unless he's doing it to you, and then pray to God. Because God's the only one that can stop him. I can't stop him. You can't stop him. We can't fight the air, can we? Satan's invisible. We can't see him. We don't even know what he's doing. I mean, even Job thought what happened to him wasn't by God's design. He thought it was something he did to bring these evils upon himself. But he did not. Even those around him said the same thing. Those who exercise authority in teaching the truth must first be under the authority and accountable to God. All of us are. If you are in a church, you are under the authority and power of Almighty God. And whatever we do in the Lord's churches, we are under that same authority and that same power. God called these false teachers filthy dreamers in verse 8. That means they lived in a world of lies. They lived in a world of false doctrine. Dreaming that it's truth, thinking that it's truth, hoping that it's truth. But they're going to find out that it is not truth. But God said to them, speak evil of, have I got something missing here? I think I've got something missing here. Okay, let me move on. God called, I got it right here. I'm sorry, I've got it down twice. God called them, they speak of evil and they are against the truth of God. They hate God. They hate the true God. They hate God's sovereign power. They hate the sovereignty of God. They replace God with themselves. They replace the power of God with their own powers. They think they save themselves when God saves sinners. They think they make decisions and choices for Christ when Christ is the one that saves the lost people. We don't save ourselves. We don't have that ability. No man can come unto Christ unless they're drawn by the Father first. John chapter 6. But they hate those teachings. And they deny them because Satan has taught them to deny them. They hate and demonize the truth of God in salvation so much. They hate God for his truth on social things like homosexuality, abortion, sin, and etc. We can go on. Because they hate God and the God of truth. And they hate us who follow him. That's all by the design and power of Satan. There's two powers working in this world. One is God, one is Satan. Satan is the one that controls the world system. It was given to him at the fall, and he controls the world system and will continue to control the world system. You don't know why the world's so messed up? Satan controls it. You don't know why so many bad things happen? Satan controls it. You don't know why? Why the world's going spinning so fast out of sight with evil? Well, Satan controls it. Satan's going to move as hard and fast as God gives him that power and authority. He's never going to slow down. He wants this world. He wants Christians to fall. He wants Christians to quit going to church. He wants Christians to quit reading the Bibles. He wants Christians to argue and debate and divide. He wants Christians to hurt themselves while he goes before God and laughs about it. That's what he wants. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians give him that, don't they? What's the Lord tell about Christians? We're supposed to edify one another, aren't we? We're supposed to be one in unity in the churches, aren't we? We're supposed to be here to serve and worship God. We're supposed to love our brothers and sisters and sacrifice for our brothers and sisters. And Satan completely turns it all around. If he can bring division in a church, he will do it. If he can bring division in a family, he will do it. If he can bring a division between Christian friends, he will do it. He would kill us all if he could. Every one of us. The Lord said in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why does Satan flee when we resist him? He doesn't flee because we're so powerful that we're going to say, get out of here, Satan. We don't have that power, do we? People think they have power over Satan when they do not. Satan is like the air. In fact, he's called the power of the air, isn't he? We can't see him. No more we see God, no more we see the Holy Spirit, no more we see his demons. We can't see him either. We can't argue and debate. We don't know what God's doing and what Satan's doing. We don't know what's happening in our life, just like Job. Not a one of us know anything that's going on. We just know and trust and have faith that God is the one controlling these things. So the only way we can resist, overcome Satan's power is to resist it. How do we resist Satan? We resist temptation, don't we? When people come up with things, we resist accepting homosexuality as part of our society. We refuse to accept this transgender stuff, this woke stuff, all these evil things going on. We have to reject them. We're not to fight them. We're not to battle with them. But we are to preach against them and believe against them and stand against them. God's going to let this world go as Satan takes it so long as he allows it. God will be the one to stop it, not us. We didn't stop abortion, did we? Abortion happened, 40 years before it was... No, it happened, 80 years before it was stopped, whatever it was, whatever it came out, I don't know how many years. Abortion kept going, it's still going. Do you know that? Oh, they cried so much that we're going to outlaw abortion. Trump outlawed abortion by the Supreme Court. Abortion's not outlawed. It's still happening, isn't it? May not be happening in Texas so much. It may not be happening in Oklahoma and Louisiana and Arkansas and a few of these other southern states. But you go up there in New York, they'll buy you a plane ticket up there, first-class plane ticket, put you up in the hotel and pay for your abortion just so you can have your right to shed the blood of an innocent baby. Sure they will. They want you. I seen some idiot holding up a sign on Twitter. Some idiot holding up a sign. She held up the sign and said, I wish my mama had aborted me. I mean, she's standing there holding up a stupid sign saying, I wish my mother would have killed me in the womb. Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump, you can just see his face on hers. What stupidity. Second, Ephesians chapter 6, if you will. So how do we resist the devil? God tells us in detail how to resist him. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. By the way, you might read the rest of chapter 6 there too while you're reading it to learn a little bit about marriage and stuff and learn a little bit about faith. He says in chapter 6 verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In the power of his might. Don't be strong in yourself. You be strong in the Lord. and you use God's powers because you don't have the power. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For he wrestles not against flesh and blood. We know he's not like us. He's power of the air. We can't even see him. There, Satan, take it. Take it, Satan, take it. No, we're just swinging at the wind, ain't we? So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day, in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Don't put kinks in your armor. Keep it strong. Stay strong in the Lord. How do you do that? By reading your Bible, by praying to God, by going to church, by listening to the message, getting fed, getting feed. How do you get strength in your life? You eat. If you don't eat, you're going to fall weakly, ain't you? You're going to fall so weak you'll die eventually. Well, that's the same way it is with the church, with the feeding that God puts into the churches. People that don't go to church aren't getting fed. They're getting weak. They're getting weak. They're getting weak. They're getting weak. Facebook's not church, folks. If that's your daily Bible study, you got problems. Anyway, let's move on. With faith, that is faith given by God, with truth, that is truth given by God, we're wearing righteousness and walk, that is walking in the Spirit. That's how we wear righteousness. We walk in the Word of God. That's called walking in the Spirit, walking in the gospel of peace, walking in peaceable tempers and humility. Having the helmet of salvation, that is having the power of Christ about us. And the sword of the Spirit, that is the sword of the Spirit, is the word of the living God right here. This is our sword. This is what we battle with. And prayer. The power of the Holy Spirit's in prayer, isn't he? Only in these things is victory over Satan even possible. If we're not doing these things, we will fall. He is powerful. He's more powerful than we are. He's not going to run from us. We're not going to scare him. This church don't scare him. Nothing scares him except God and the power of God. Because God has always defeated Satan, and he always will, and in the end, he will defeat Satan for eternity. He will put him in his place in a bottomless pit in the most hot part of it. Now let's move to our next point. We only have a couple points left. And depending on how this goes, I may just sum it up tonight and be done. Next, God's children has a hedge about them. Go to Job chapter 1, if you will. Job chapter 1. God's children, I'm going to grab a drink of water while y'all go there. In Job chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and substance is increased in the land. Yes, and God did, didn't he? God gave Job a lot, didn't he? But a load of Satan here says, you have a hedge about him. Go to Hosea chapter 2, if you will. What's a hedge? You know what a hedge is? Hedge is like a fence or barrier. What Satan's telling us here is that God has a barrier or a fence around Job and all that he has. See, Satan knows he can't touch Job or anything Job has if God doesn't permit him and release the barrier. God has a barrier around you too. He has a barrier around me. He has a hedge around this church. If he didn't, we'd all be dead and gone, or we'd be in jail, or we'd be at a prison camp somewhere. The Lord says in Hosea chapter 2, verse 6, therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her path. So the Lord's telling us there what the hedge is. He said, I'm going to put up a fence here. That's what one president tried to do down here at Southern Border. He didn't get it done, did he? Now we got millions of stacked up on top of millions by tens of millions coming over here getting disability. But us, we're protected by God. God protects his children, just as he protected Job. While we cannot see the hedge, God is our hedge. It's not that God puts a barrier around us. God is our barrier. That's what you call preservation, isn't it? Preservation, perseverance. God looking after us. God caring for us. Go back over to Job, if you will. Job chapter 1 again. This is why Satan needs God's permission to bring these terrible things upon Job and to take almost all that he had. In verse 12 of chapter 1 of Job, he said, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So the Lord just took the barrier down, didn't he? He said, okay, Satan, it's yours. Go after it. Take everything he's got. But you know what? There's still a hedge around Job. You're not going to take his life. You're not going to take him. Because I still have work for him. This means that we are kept safe. We are kept secure by God himself and not ourselves. Nothing we can do to keep ourselves safe. You know what a lock on a door is? It's to keep an honest man out. You don't think these crooks run around with these big old clippers and bolt cutters and cut locks and things? You don't think they know how to break the locks and get through the locks on your house? They do. You ain't going to stop them. You might stop them if you got a 9mm or a semi-automatic in there or something. You might stop them. Then they won't put you in jail. But God's our protection, isn't he? God is our hedge, isn't he? He's the fence. He's the barrier, isn't he? He says in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. He says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's how we're kept. We're kept by the power of God. The power of God brought us here. The power of God saved our souls. The power of God keeps us here. And the power of God's going to see us through till the day we're with the Lord. That hedge is around us. God has it around us. This is the same God we've been preaching on for 5 other weeks. Amen. None else, he said. No one can compete with God. No one has any authority or power like God. And Jude chapter 1, verse 1, I'm going to read these so I can get on through here and finish this tonight. In Jude chapter 1, Jude, the son of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Those that are sanctified, made holy, made righteous, not by ourselves, but by God the Father. As many as the Father calls will come. And preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Preserved means to watch, to guard, to keep an eye on them, and to keep someone safe. That's who Jesus is. He's doing that for us. Our Lord is keeping us safe. Say, well, sometimes bad things happen, yeah? Sometimes the Lord allows bad things to happen, doesn't he? You know, he flooded the whole earth at one time, killed everybody in it. You know, through history, millions stacked upon top of millions, stacked upon top of tens of millions of people, Christians, died because the Lord removed the hedge and let them kill them. Jesus Christ died. All the apostles died. Great men through history have all died. A lot of them sacrificed. Why? Because God removed the hedge and allowed it to happen. That's the only way it could happen. We're safe in the hands of Jesus. We're safe in the hands of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "And he and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Your whole tri-being. People say, well, there's no such thing as a tri-being in man. It is. We're a triple. Just like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, body, soul, and spirit. And he mentions it right there. It's preserved, blameless. We can't disturb what Jesus has done. People that think that people can be saved and lost, they can't disturb what Jesus has done. We didn't save ourselves. Jesus saved us. Jesus did that. 2 Corinthians 12, if you will. No matter what happens in life, no matter what Satan or even God brings our way, God will never fail us. Ever. See, it's not about us. Life on this earth is not about us. If it was, God, we would live in wonderful. Heaven is that place, isn't it? Heaven's our place, isn't it? Not here. God preserves us. God takes care of us. And God will never fail us. There's none like him. Not is there any as powerful as God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10 says, "And he said unto thee, my grace is sufficient for thee." It's all you need. It's sufficient. It's enough. "My strength is made perfect," that is complete, "in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then," Paul said, "am I strong." Amen. See, it's not about our strength. We must be strong in the Lord. And we must be weak physically, that the Lord, and powerfully, that the Lord's glory may shine in us. We have to give God credit, folks. We have to give God credit for everything. And that's where a lot of churches and Christians fail, is they fail to give God the credit. They fail to give Him the glory.
Amen.
So we have a hedge about us. We're preserved. The only thing that ever happened to us is God allows it, just like He did with Job. Job's not a special case. Job is a normal case. We're all the same way. God is our protector, and Satan will take whatever God will let him take. That's it. Now let's go to our last part. And that way we can get done with this tonight. Not that I'm in a hurry, just I want to get this part. I love this part. This is my favorite part of the whole message outside of the very first part. And the third part, we're going to go to 1 John 3. Our Heavenly Father is breathtaking. It is amazing what He's done for us. It is amazing what God had done for us. We have no complaints. We have none. We should never complain about anything to God. He loved us before we was ever born. He loved us all of our life. He sent His own Son to this world to give His life on that cross for our sins. He chose righteousness in Him through for us through Him. All because He loved us. And 1 John, chapter 3, verse 1, 2, behold what manner of love Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.
Amen.
It's the same God we spent so much time in these messages, hours and hours and hours, talking about. The same God that created everything. The same God that has power over Satan, power over the entire universe, loves us. He's the most powerful being ever. Everything else besides Him is created by Him. Psalm chapter 36, if you will. In Psalm chapter 36, verse 7 and through 9, Psalm 36, 7 says, how excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wing. They shall be absolutely satisfied with the fatness of Thy house. And Thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of Thy pleasures. For with Thee is the fountain of life. In Thy light shall we see light. Isn't that beautiful? His house has everything we need. His grace has everything we need. His Son has everything we need. We think we need things. All we need is the Lord. We need to have faith in that. First Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Talking about Jesus. Verse 24, it says, who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead in sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. There's that fence again. There's that hedge again, folks. God protecting us. God taking care of us. God not letting anything happen that God has not brought forth to happen. Titus chapter 3, if you will. He caused us to love him. We didn't come to love him. He brought us to that love. He gave us that love. He gave us everything we needed to love him. He even gave us the faith to believe on him. He caused us to see Jesus. He caused us to believe on Jesus. He made us his children. He controls our life in Jesus Christ and everything we do is in the hands of God. It's in the power of God. It's in the ordained will of God. Titus chapter 3, if you will, verse 3 through 6, it says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, served divers lusts, pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. What's bad, isn't it? Don't that just stink? That's the way we were. But after that kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And last, verse 6, it says, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And I'll end with this. Oh, what beautiful love God has for us. Amen. And he shows us that. And the fact that he elected us for the foundation of the world, brought us to the point of salvation, caused us to believe, caused us to walk in his word, caused us to be church members, caused us in this life to do everything we do for the Lord. Nothing has failed. All the will of God has always been accomplished. All of the will of God will always be accomplished. No matter what days ahead for us, no matter what happens tomorrow, the next week, or next month, or next year, it does not matter. God has his hedge around us. He has his barrier around us. And nobody can breach that barrier unless God allows it to happen. Thank you, Lord, for all you do. Thank you, if you will. Let's all stand. Everybody have a wonderful week. And I'm going to ask Brother Frank if he will dismiss the church word of prayer.
Our great and almighty Father, thank you for bringing this assembly together to praise and worship your name. Thank you for the pastor that you placed here and the messages.